With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Time to talk Mets baseball with Mr. Edward Coleman. Eddie, how you doing?
I'm good, Rich. How are you?
Pretty good, pretty good. Not bad at all. I'm a little bit tired of talking Astros, but this is the job we've chosen.
I think everybody is probably a little tired, except for Cody Bellinger. He still seems like he has something to get off his chest. But
yeah, well, you know, Eddie, it struck me hearing that stuff, the difference between football and baseball. Because if you went after Roger Goodell like he went after Rob Manfred, there would be fines, there would be suspensions, there would be, you know, you're not allowed to do that in football. Baseball, I guess, the commissioner is going to just take the blows and move on, right?
Well, I guess, yeah. I mean, maybe Manfred is getting used to it because, in my personal opinion, he's made a lot of dumb decisions of as far as changing this game. But whatever, that's just my personal opinion, as I say.
Okay, well, to give us a little break from the Astros, and we'll get back to that, of course.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of this stupid playoff thing? I mean, I haven't talked about it at all because it's been all Astros all the time here. But this idea of 14 out of the 30 teams making the playoffs, I hate it. And the second thing of choosing your opponent for the next round on TV, please. I mean, I don't consider myself a purist. I'm open to new ideas. But to me, that is several bridges too far. What do you think?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's strictly set up for TV. They want elimination games. And if you have a bunch of three-game series, then you have better chances for elimination games. Game three, elimination game. is it the same as game seven? Not to me, but whatever. For TV, that's all they care about. That's why they loved the idea of the one and done, you know, which I always thought was kind of dumb. Mm-hmm. Play 162 games and then play one for a wild card, but it is a wild card. Everything is set up for TV and to make more money. It's not, to me, for the betterment of the game. The simple math to me, you know, baseball has immersed itself in analytics, Rich. The simple math to me is this. Hockey and basketball play half the number of games that baseball does, and they have 16 teams each in the playoffs. Baseball is playing twice as many more games per season every day, play every day throughout the year for basically 7 months, and you're eliminating, what, 16 teams, okay? You have 14 teams in the playoffs. Makes no sense to me. The math makes no sense to me whatsoever.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, it devalues the regular season. I know people are going to say, oh, no, it makes it more important because teams in July think, oh, we can make it, so they're not going to trade players away and they're not going to tank. And that may be an unintended consequence or an intended thing here, but I would rather just see earn it. You know, it used to be two teams, you know, one in the American, one in the National. Now, I understand today's day and age, you can't go that far. But to keep just throwing guys into the playoffs, you're going to have sub-500 teams in the playoffs if they do this, and
yeah,
that absolutely would be a travesty to me.
Yeah, well, they've already done it in the NHL and the NBA, so, you know, why not join in with baseball? But it makes, that part of it makes no sense to me. And, virtually everything that they have tried to do, has to speed up the game as well. You know, another stupid rule is the one that's going to be implemented this year with the relief pitcher pitching three batters, unless he finishes out an inning. I think that's ridiculous too. But to me, it's not going to speed up the game. You can speed up the game in other ways, but not that way.
Okay. But, well, that particular one doesn't bother me, but we'll see how it shakes out. I'm willing to see if it works, if it doesn't work, if it helps. But, moving on from there, there's expanded rosters now, 26 and 28, which I think makes more sense instead of going to 40. But right. I would imagine, I would think that the players union wouldn't love that only because there are a lot of guys who aren't going to get a chance to play in September who would have otherwise.
Yeah, and maybe, you know, start their clock a little bit earlier. I guess that's possible, but at the same time, you had to do something in that regard. It was right. It was getting totally out of hand when, you know, you look down at a bullpen in September and you've got seven left-handers down there. You know, you can bring, you know, one each in for an out, and that's, you know, with some managers, that's what it came to. So you had to do something to rectify that, and I think at least in that case, you know, it made sense. The 26th man, I think, you know, with a limit of 13 pitchers, I think is a good idea. It, you know, helps your bench a little bit, and then, you know, you got to put a number on September, and they've done it.
Yeah, Eddie, and clarify this, I should know this, but is it 28 fixed, or is it 28 in any given game? In other words, can they have 40 guys eligible, but only 28 could participate?
That's a good question,
game?
Rich. I'm not totally sure of that myself. Yeah, no, that's a very good question. Yeah, you might be able to have like a taxi squad that you can, you know, adapt. But I think it's going to be 28 straight, but I'm not positive about that.
Yeah, because that would, you know, alleviate the other problem where, you know, you could have guys around who could,
right,
you know, be slotted in for given games, but you wouldn't have the silliness of all these, you know, pitchers coming in and all that.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's get to the Astros stuff. You know, Marincek said, hey, look, sorry, did a nice apology. But Davis, you know, I got to nail him a little bit because he originally said, nah, we didn't do it, and now says, well, I spoke prematurely. And Joel Sherman, I think, wrote today, no, you didn't speak prematurely. You lied about it back then. You know, you didn't tell the truth. You knew that it was.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. No, he did lie. I totally agree. And I thought Marisnik came out much better yesterday than JD. You know, JD's younger, but still he's old enough to know and know better. I think that's, you know, the real case here. You know, he did lie in December, when they had the Christmas events. At that time, he did cooperate with Major League Baseball. I think he's sorry. He's a good person. I do know that from, you know, from covering him last year. And I think he was a little caught up, in the fact that, you know, he said he was starstruck, and I understand. He arrived on August 5th, and he's, you know, trying to fight his way through the minors to make the majors. He finally does, and, you know, does he keep his mouth shut? Yes, he obviously did. Marisnik, as I mentioned, I thought came out much better yesterday because, yeah, I mean, he laid it out there. You know, he's been in the majors since 2013. He's been traded from Miami to Houston. He was with them for a couple of years, had his best season in 2017. And, you know, when he was asked about the pressure, supposed pressure from Beltran or anybody else, Alex Cora, if it came from the coaching staff, you know, about keeping quiet because of their stature or their presence, you know, he said that's junk. He said, I'm old enough to make my own decisions. I didn't do it. I regret that. I'm sorry I didn't. And, you know, I thought he laid it out pretty well.
Yeah. Well, there's a line between, you know, not saying anything and turning people in, you know, and I think that's the thing that's uncomfortable because there are a lot of things you see that you think, okay, that's wrong, but am I going to ruin this guy's career, get this guy in trouble? Am I going to be blackballed with my teammates because I divulged something that happened in the locker room? I mean, we saw Pedro Martinez and, you know, Jessica Mendoza say, yeah, it wasn't too cool what Fires did. So there's that feeling around. Mm-hmm. So it does take some guts to come out and say, hey, yeah, we did something wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, listen, a lot of this stems from getting caught. You know, does anybody say anything if there's mm-hmm. no total proof at the end that anything went on? I mean, the Astros, this has been rumored for years. You know, you talk to scouts, you talk to other people that, you know, that there's something going on there. If they couldn't pin it down, they knew they were up to something. So there was obviously enough evidence and finally enough evidence to, you know, to get caught and get it out in the open. But, at the same time, you know, all you can do at this point is accept responsibility. I thought Marisnik did that for the most part yesterday. You know, he said, the one thing I would differ with both of them on is that, you know, they were asked about, you know, would the Astros have won, you know, if they didn't do this. Well, you know, it is hard to say. You know, they are a good team, and they don't want to throw those guys under the bus because they're former teammates. But at the same time, if they were so good, then why'd you do it? You know, if they were so much better than everybody else, why'd you cheat? So, Yeah, that's hard to rationalize, I think.
Yeah. Well, let's turn our attention toward New York Mets things. Here's something I don't get. If, in fact, the Mets are going to be back on the market and there are going to be no preconditions that the Wilpons have control for 5 years, why wouldn't they have just gone to Steve Cohen and say, okay, we're going to drop the five-year thing. Let's just get this deal done. It doesn't make sense to me unless they really believe that some group is going to come by and blow his offer out of the water for $3 billion or more. Why would they do that?
And I find that hard to believe, too. As long as Steve Cohen is still out there and is still considered viable, because I'm not quite sure how baseball views him now after the failed ownership bid, but as far as approval goes, but if he's still out there, I can't imagine that with his money that someone's going to top whatever his offer is going to be. You know, he's already offered 2.6, and you know, some people think they can't get $3 billion. Maybe they can, maybe they can't. I don't know myself, but I think he's still in the mix out there. It could be a personality thing between the Wilpons and Cohen. I don't know. You know, that they don't want to sell him that. I don't know. That's a possibility too. There were obviously some hard feelings that went on with the 5 year window and remuneration for people and Jeff staying on. So I don't know how that fares. But I would assume if Cohen can still bid, and I believe he can, that it's going to be hard to top his money. I would think if he wants it, that he's going to throw his money that way.
Yeah, and I wonder if, with this auction, if they don't get a bid as high as his, if they have to go back to him, tail between their legs, and say, you know what, Steve, let's water under the bridge. All right, we'll do it, and we'll drop the thing. Or, you know, knowing, you know, his reputation, he might say, oh, yeah? Well, not 2.6, it's 2.2. How about that?
Yeah. So. Well, that'll be interesting. That will be, and to me, it will be interesting to see. I've always felt that the Wilpons wanted to keep this in the family, and that, you know, Jeff would continue in some way, shape, or form. So does that change now? It certainly appears that way. But until it's done, I guess I'll have a hard time believing that. So,
well, Saul Katz, the guy that we don't hear much from, apparently wants to cash in. So that might be a big factor there.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, definitely.
Okay, well, to on-the-field stuff, maybe. Familia losing 30 pounds. I mean, is he... That's good for his health and everything else. Do you think it was a big factor in his lack of success last year?
I think it played into it. Yeah, I don't know if it was a huge factor, but I think it certainly played into it. He was not in the best of shape. I think, you know, he has a kind of body that has a tendency. I mean, I think he'll always be. He doesn't look chubby now. Don't get me wrong. He did lose 30 pounds. He looks very thin and trim. But I think he has that kind of body that, you know, through the course of the season will pack on some weight. So I think it's great that he's in this kind of shape here. Did it have some effect? Yeah, I think it did a huge effect. I don't know. But he looks good, and he looks good throwing the ball down here. Diaz looks good as well. He's very fit. Did a lot of work and talking with Pedro Martinez in the off season. I think that's good, and I think it's helped him. And I think, you know, it's interesting. And I talked to Jeremy Heppner the other day, and what is between the ears with a lot of these guys, I think he's been working on. And Jeremy, I think, is going to be a very good pitching coach. He's close in age to a lot of these guys, and hopefully that's not going to be a problem in listening to him. But you know, getting in Syndergaard's head, getting in Diaz's head, and kind of straightening them out, giving them confidence, you know, and kind of showing them the way, I think is going to be good for this team.
Well, and even Steven Matt said, you know, this analytics stuff, I wasn't really sure, but the way he explained it, now I can see how this can really help me out. So, you know, maybe it's just a different voice and a different message.
Yeah, no, I think so. And I think Jeremy's been very good at that and very effective at that. We shall see. But I think that I think it's going to be a good thing. And I'm glad to see him. You know, it's not just, you know, looking at guys' mechanics and looking at film, and you can do this and you can tweak that. You've got to keep these guys, you know, positive and kind of turn the page on, you know, bad outings, et cetera. So I think he's done a pretty good job of that early on here and trying to get to the guys that probably need that more than others. I don't think Jacob DeGrom needs that at all. It's not going to have to deal on that level with him, but with others, he's going to have to.
Yeah, if you could put his brain in everybody else, you'd have a bunch of Cy Young winners. Well, 16 degrees in New York, Eddie, so enjoy.
I heard. It's actually cooling down here. It was a little too hot, but it's still very nice, and I'm not complaining. So.
Oh, please. Okay. Eddie C., we'll talk to you again soon, Eddie.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.